belyser kort et ansigt, før den slukkes. I mørket mødes hænder, berører kort hinanden, før de stivner. Ord sendes ud, nogle få når frem til et øre, huskes muligvis en tid. Målt på langs er livet kort, men lodret målt uendeligt, en dirrende fiber i dødens muskel. Kys med det samme, før kysset rammer et kranium. Snart er du ingen, men nu har du læber og tændstikker.
And good evening. This is WXOJLP Northampton, 103.3 FM, Valley Radio, streaming worldwide at valleyfreeradio.org. You are listening to Twilight's Poetry Pub, and you just heard at the start of the hour Michael Goldman, who is our guest tonight, playing one of his original compositions, My Lady Fills Me Up, and then we heard a poem by Danish poet, I would call the Danish national poet, Benny Andersen, and Michael is here to talk with us about Benny, and he's doing translations of Benny's work, and you, of course, heard the original Danish, and then we'll hear the poem in Michael's English translation in a few minutes. But I'd like to introduce my guest this evening, and my guest is Michael Goldman. Good evening, Michael.
Thanks a lot, Tom. It's great to be here.
Good. And speak right into that mic, my friend. And my guest here is Carl Russo.
Hey, Tom. Good to see you.
How you doing?
Not bad. And you?
Oh, good. Yes, we like to have guests on Twilight's Poetry Pub, and we love to have interesting poets, and Michael's a poet and a musician. But the project we're mainly going to be talking about tonight is he's working on a book of translations from Danish to English of Benny Andersen. Is that right, Michael?
That is correct.
Yes, and it's pretty exciting, and Michael is a friend of mine, and our spouses are friends, fellow massage therapists, and so Michael's agreed to come on our show and talk about the work that he's doing with these translations. He sent me some, and I've read them, and I really like them. And Benny Andersen, how did you come to be interested in working on translations of Benny Andersen?
I lived in Denmark for a couple of years. My wife is from Denmark. She is Danish.
Yeah.
So I've known the language for almost 25 years now. I learned it on my I taught myself Danish on my second trip there. But it's really only over the last few years. I've always been reading Danish occasionally, but over the last few years, I read a book about Benny. I call him Benny Andersen.
Would that be the more correct
yeah,
pronunciation?
Yeah. And I started reading some of his poetry, which I loved. It so happened that I was meeting up with some musician friends to rehearse, and I asked one of them how he was doing. He said he was doing terrible because a friend very close to him had died very suddenly that week. And that had happened to me once, where a very good friend of mine had died suddenly. And so we talked about it, and I realized that it would really help him if he could read this poem by Benny Andersen, which I find really inspiring. And I brought it with me tonight too, but it was in Danish, so obviously he couldn't read it. So I went home and I translated it for him over the next couple of days, and I sent it to him. And then I started to see, well, look at these other great poems that Benny Andersen has written. Well, these haven't been translated either, I didn't have the idea that I was going to try and get a book published. I just thought I wanted to translate them to share them with the people that I knew, my friends and family and people who love poetry. And so one thing led to the other, and now I'm up to about 140 translations. I've been doing it all year.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, of course, now Benny Andersen.
Yeah, very good.
He's an elderly man now.
Yeah, he just turned 82.
82. And he is a very prolific poet and musician and composer in Denmark, and probably extremely well known there. You were telling me that his book has sold something on the effect of like one out of every 50 people in his country has bought his book.
Yeah, well, he's like a national treasure there, I would say. His first book came out in 1960, so he's been in literature and in the public circles for over 50 years, and he's really just incredibly well known and loved for his the way that he expresses the Danish culture.
And it's interesting. I mean, the perspective I find reading the poems, the perspective of the poems interesting. In fact, I was reading them today, and strangely, and maybe you'll think this is strange or not, I had been watching Charlie Brown Christmas the other night.
Yeah.
And some of the poetry or the sentiment or the perspective of the poetry, in a strange way, it reminded me of some of the things that Charlie Brown might say, which is interesting, meaning that maybe there's a childlike quality to it, but also a wisdom in what he is writing. So I found it very interesting that it was reminiscent of that.
There absolutely is that. And there's also a tradition of that in Danish literature and in Denmark, that there's things are understated, kind of like Charlie Brown. But there's also a humor, an incredible humor to Benny Andersen's poetry, where he takes a normal phrase and turns it around so that it means more, but it also might be a little funny too.
Yeah. It's funny, it's wry, it's interesting. Mm-hmm. Some of it's tongue in cheek.
Yeah.
Some of it is just an interesting observation. Mm-hmm. Some of it is like a conversation with himself inside of his own head. What he's thinking. Mm-hmm. You can follow his thought process as he goes through a poem. Mm-hmm. And so perhaps now, at this time, you'd like to... Now, we heard the piece in Danish here.
Yep.
Perhaps you'd like to read this translation of that piece.
I will. And this is this one poem is another... You've mentioned several themes in his poetry. Well, this is another one, which is kind of seize the moment. You know, get all that you can out of every moment of your life. And that's part of the theme to this short poem. And this is called Life is Narrow and Tall. Somewhere in the world, a match flares up, briefly illuminates a face and goes out. Hands meet in the dark, briefly touch one another before they stiffen. Words are sent out, a few reach an ear, maybe are remembered for a while. Measured lengthwise, life is short, but measured vertically, endless. A quivering fiber in death's muscle. Kiss right away before the kiss hits a skull. Soon you are no one, but now you have lips and matches.
Very cool. So what do you think of that one, Carl?
Well, you know, it's interesting, and indeed it, you can see, right, especially in those last... That last line, you can see the verticality of life, and of course he sees the horizontal part as being pretty restricted.
Yeah,
so restricted, but he wants to celebrate life.
Yes, and that's I've noticed that theme throughout the work that I've read. The translations, of course, I'm not reading from the Danish; I'm reading Michael's translations, and I've noticed that theme of. The moment of grabbing the moment and getting what you can out of the moment of life. And and there's also some of the poetry I've noticed. He must have lived through World War II because he addresses that as a big issue in his life.
He was a teenager in World War II. He was born in 1929.
Yeah.
And Denmark was occupied by Germany from, I believe, 39 to 45. So that made a big impression on him. And some of his poems that are remembering his youth have to do with Hitler and Rommel and the occupation. So something else that you're hearing, I hear you both talking about, you know, seizing, you know, some of his poems have the seizing the moment quality, and there's a there's kind of it's kind of I believe that's part of a flip side of of living in Denmark, which is a very small country, maybe about the size of Massachusetts, 5 million people. It's very, if you've ever been there or not, it's very clean. It's a very secure place. Not a lot of crime. Not a lot of poverty, or almost none, really. It's a very easy place to be in. It's beautiful, but not always that exciting.
Yeah.
So this next poem, you know, kind of speaks to that a little bit. Is that when things are too secure and safe, sometimes you need to shake things up a bit. And so I think that might be part of, you know, that's part of what he's commenting on, too, in these.
Okay, so are you going to read this next one now?
I'd like to.
Go ahead.
So this is called Restlessness. My suitcase opens wide, imploring, feed me, fill me with socks, fatten me with folded things, stuff me with longings and a shaving kit. I ask you, please, give me one more chance to be tumbled around in a trunk, relegated to back seats, treated like a dog on conveyor belts. Let me be emptied, put through customs, and refilled with dirty socks, half-emptied bottles, abducted ashtrays. Let my contents spill out onto foreign sheets, hang on interesting hangers, plop in bidets with a guttural accent. But most of all, forget me someplace, in an out-of-the-way synagogue, in a jungle, or an opium den, on the bottom of the big city, in the corner of the desert, or dropped off of a dog sled under the northern lights, under the southern cross, underway. It doesn't matter where, just not here, where you know what you've got, where you know nothing will happen to you. Take me with you. Liberate me. Let me never return to this suffocating security.
All right. Well, I think we're going to play another cut off of your CD here. Michael's got a CD of his music here, and I think we'll do cut number one, the do-it-yourself store.
We got a problem, that's true. You think it's me, well, I think it's you. But before we blow a fuse and go on nuts and loose screws, let me find some tools I can use. I'm going to the do-it-yourself store, 'cause I can't talk to you anymore. You cry and yell that it's all going to hell. Well, I'm going to fix it myself. We need a new door, that's all. I'm tired of talking to you through this wall. I'll get a hatch, I'll get a flue, as long as it gets me through to you. It'll be worth the trouble to install. I'm going to the do-it-yourself store, 'cause this love, it sure ain't working no more. There's too much crying and yelling and going to hell. Now I'm gonna fix it myself. I'll browse their electric aisle, pick out a switch that'll put the light in your smile. If I connect the right cable, maybe we'll be able to rekindle those sparks for a while. I'm going to the do-it-yourself store, 'cause talking to you doesn't work anymore. There's too much crying and yelling and going to hell. And now I'm gonna fix it myself. Intakes and valves, they're corroded and stuck. But with Delta and Moen, I'll get the works flowing and wash away all of this muck. I'm going to the do-it-yourself store, 'cause they got everything we need and more. All this crying and yelling and going to hell, well, I'm gonna fix it myself. There's so many things I could buy. You know I'll return with my truck piled high, ready to kick up some dust, remove rust and build trust, and make this life work for both of us. I'm going to the do-it-yourself store, 'cause this life, it ain't working no more. There's too much crying and yelling and going to hell. And now I'm gonna fix it myself. Yeah, I'm gonna fix it myself. I'm gonna fix it. I can fix anything, so I'm gonna fix it myself.
Okay, this next poem is called Time. Time. We have 12 clocks in our house. Still, we don't have enough time. You go to the kitchen, get chocolate milk for your skinny son. But when you return, he's too old for chocolate milk. He wants beer, girls, revolution. You've got to make use of the time while you've got it. Your daughter comes home from school, goes out to hopscotch, comes in a bit later and asks if you could watch the baby while she and her husband go to the movies. And while they're at the movies, the baby, with some difficulty, passes 11th grade. You've got to make use of the time while you've got it. You photograph your once young wife wearing a sumptuous gypsy scarf, and in the background, a luxurious water fountain. But just as the picture is developed, she's wondering if maybe it's just about time for her to apply for Social Security. Quietly, the widow in her awakens. You want to make use of the time, but it's always slipping away. Where's it going? Was it ever there? Did you use up too much time trying to make time? You've got to make use of the time in time. Wander for a time without time or place, and when your time is up, call home and hear, "The number you have dialed, 765-4321, is not in service." Click.
That's a good one. And what I find interesting about that one is it translated very well.
Thanks, Tom.
That, you know, it sounded like it was written for the English with the interplay of the words and stuff, and the sounds of the words, and the repetition of time. We never had enough time. What are we going to do about the time and how the time goes by? And I like the imagery of it and the playfulness of it. And of course, it's true. It's so true, because I look at my own life or my children, and now they're all grown up pretty much, and it goes by like that in some ways.
What I see him doing in this poem is he's mixing reality and perception.
Yeah.
Because, right, these things happen. They don't really happen that fast, but it seems like they do.
Yeah.
And it's like you want to laugh, but you can't laugh because it's too serious. Because this is happening to all of us, so he's using humor, but in such a way that it really touches us deeply, and he does that often in his poetry, and that's part of what I love about it.
He's really in touch with the human condition that time, and how you said, well, we know from our own kids that the example he uses is oh so true.
Yeah, it creates sort of a surreal quality where you become sort of unhinged in time a little bit.
Yeah.
And that reminds me a little bit of that was a theme in Kurt Vonnegut's work. I don't know if you're familiar with any of that.
But some.
Some of his, of course, he was, World War II was a big experience in his life, too. Mm-hmm. And he talks, several of his books have a theme of just coming kind of unstuck in time and, you know, going from one thing to another and going back to it, and so it also has a surreal kind of a quality to it.
This next one will do that too.
Okay.
This was the first translation that I did, like I mentioned before, for a friend of mine.
For your friend. Yeah.
That's right. And I'm not going to read the whole thing because it's a long poem. I'm just going to read the first section. This is called Something to Live Up To. And what he's speaking to is that that I experienced when I had someone close to me pass away suddenly, was that we're grieving for them, and then we discover that in a way they never left. And so it's that same thing about kind of suspending reality, like what's really going on here? So this is called Something to Live Up To. Something to Live Up To. I don't really count my dead. Just notice that the amount is increasing sharply. But what are dead numbers compared to dead and kicking friends? I have nothing against the dead. Some of my best friends are dead. What strikes me is just their unfailing life energy, seen alongside numerous living that are more dead than alive. I know more not dead who bore me to death, while the really dead, the professional, are up and moving again at unexpected moments, getting mixed up in everything, putting some heat into a boring conversation, getting the lilacs to bloom in the middle of the winter, calling forth laughter during a tooth extraction, calling forth anger during a bloodless TV commercial, getting me to read that book again that I otherwise had sworn never to read anymore.
Cool. And I know that's a long piece because I read the whole thing, but that's a good place to stop with that. It's good. All right, well, I think I'm going to play another selection from your CD here. And I'm going to play number 4 called Crazy Glue.
Okay.
Crazy Glue. So let's give it a whirl.
The sun is my heart, let it shine, let it shine. When I think of all the days that you've been mine, there's no one else who can place this big smile upon my face like when you love me, and you do it all the time. I'm stuck to you like the other side of a piece of paper, like up and down and heads and tails, screwed with screws and hammered on with nails. I'm stuck to you with some kind of crazy glue. I'm stuck to you like a house on its foundation, with 1,000 rubber bands and shoelaces. Where you're going, you're sure I'm going to, 'cause I'm stuck to you with some kind of crazy glue. The sun is my heart, let it shine, let it shine. When I think of all the days that you've been mine, there's no one else who can place this big smile upon my face like when you love me, and you do it all the time. I'm stuck to you like an emergency brake that's seized, like morning glory vines constricting all the trees. There ain't nothing a pry bar or WD-40 can do, 'cause I'm stuck to you with some kind of crazy glue. I'm stuck to you like octopuses hugging. We're bonded from a cellular perspective, we're forming a yin and yang collective. I'm stuck to you with some kind of crazy glue. The sun is my heart, let it shine, let it shine. When I think of all the days that you've been mine, there's no one else who can place this big smile upon my face like when you love me, and you do it all the time. Like when you love me, and you do it all the time. I'm stuck to you with some kind of crazy glue.
I'm stuck to you like some kind of crazy glue.
You like that line, Tom?
Yeah. I was just working with glue downstairs. I it's supposed to be for my mother's birthday, but I'm making her a writing table. And her birthday was back in March, so I'm trying to finish it for Christmas. That's my goal.
Nice.
So I had my fingers covered with glue. So.
Yeah.
So I'm sure you know how that is. You've done some woodworking and carpentry work yourself.
Yeah. That's for sure.
So we're talking during the break, and Carl was pointing out how wonderfully accessible this poetry is, and how people can understand it and understand the sentiments of it. And there's, while it has its sense of mystery and you know, we were talking about a surreal quality before, it's very accessible and easy to listen to and easy to get something out of. Everybody can listen to it and get something out of it, I think.
Well, but at the same time, it's got some genuine depth.
Oh, absolutely.
And that you can't take a sneeze at. You know, poetry with depth is very important. I mean.
So that was a love song that you just played, and I have a love poem.
Okay.
By Benny Andersen. So he just turned 82 years old last month, and he also just put out a book, another book in October. I'm having it sent over. I don't have it yet. So he's still active. He's still traveling, and besides these other themes, he also has a strong love theme in his poetry as well.
Yeah.
And this one he just wrote 6 years ago at the ripe age of 75. It's called Reaction. Reaction. The universe explodes in every direction. Everything is on its way away from everything. Speeding headlong, all the planets, all the stars, and all the galaxies. In all the galaxy clusters, the shrapnel is flung out from a detonated time bomb. Our own globe, a single bit of grenade, among billions of trillions, just populated. Since the Big Bang, we've been banging away. Otherwise, it's rather quiet today. The trees in the yard are standing more or less where they always have stood, apparently, at any rate, and that's good enough. But when you and I, this morning, looked into each other's eyes, we realized, after a while, that we had gotten closer to one another, and closer, since we met the first time. We are far behind in our progress. We'll never catch up to the rest of the universe. And what's worse is, we could care less. It's like casting stars before moles. Every day, a disgraceful setback, where all we achieve is to get closer to one another. Where will it end? One day, we risk thinking and feeling the same thing at the same time. One night, it could go so far that we dream the same dream. About everything or nothing. We have irrevocably failed the origin of existence itself, shown ourselves to be lacking in solidarity with the big collective bang. But worst of all, I don't regret a second of our sinful, all too mutual gravitation. I am a lost cause, a space heretic, depravedly looking forward to meet your interstellar eyes tomorrow, nearer than ever, and count myself a defector, one of the fallen, deeply reactionary, hopelessly happy.
All right. Yeah, I remember I was reading that one today. I saw that was nice. That was good.
That's a lovely poem. It has so much heart in it.
There's a lot of heart in that poem. It really is. So this is WXOJLP Northampton, 103.3 FM, Valley Free Radio, streaming worldwide at valleyfreeradio.org. And tonight, you are listening to Twilight's Poetry Pub with our special guests, Michael Goldman. And Michael is talking about Benny Andersen, the national treasure poet of Denmark. Mm-hmm. And Michael's working on translations of Benny's work for the American audience.
And what I found was, after I had done maybe a couple dozen translations with it, that this poetry, I felt it was so valuable. I've been reading poetry all my life, but if you go into a bookstore and you look under foreign poets, you'll see a lot of poets. You'll see Rainer Maria Rilke, and you'll see Pablo Neruda.
Oh, yeah.
But you're not going to see Benny Andersen.
Yeah.
You know, he's from a small country that a lot of people don't even know where it is if you talk to people on the street.
Yeah.
But yet he writes poetry of such quality and depth that I felt like, we've got to get this out.
Yeah.
And so I felt, well, I'm going to keep translating them. And so I started to send them through email to some of my friends.
Yeah.
And then some of them told some people, and I started mentioning it to other people, and so now I have an email list. I've been sending out my translations every week for almost a year now. So they're starting to spread a little bit through the internet. But my goal really is to get a book on those shelves so that this poetry can be out there for the poetry-loving public.
Yeah. It's just really surprising that this man hasn't got a following in the English-speaking world.
Well, I'm not sure how many – I mean, if the Danes are pretty happy where they are, then maybe not a lot of them have come to the United States. I mean, I don't know if there's a big Danish community here. I know a couple. I know that your wife is Danish, and I know a girl, an old and dear friend of mine is Danish, and her mother, I believe.
Yeah.
But other than that, I'm not aware of any big Danish community like, the Irish came, and there's millions of Irish, and
yeah,
the
I mean that's
the,
true.
The
but in listening to these translations, I'm not hearing a whole lot of Danish in here.
No,
I mean, or anything about Denmark. What I'm hearing about is the human condition, which is universal.
That's true.
Well, this next one does mention Denmark, or at least the word Danish, and it tells you a little bit about what it may have been like for him, but. It's not just about Denmark. It's just about living in the modern world, to me anyway. And this is called Smile. Smile. I was born with a wail. Bawling, I was baptized. Cried when I was hit. Screamed when stung by a bee. But gradually, I became more Danish. Learned to smile at the world. At the photographer. At doctors, police officers, and perverts, became a resident in the land of the smile. A smile keeps away flies and keeps the mind clean. Light and air are good for the teeth. If you're late, go bankrupt, get run over, just smile. The tourists come streaming to see smiling traffic casualties, chuckling homeless, cackling bereaved. I can't get rid of my smile. Sometimes I want to cry or just be down in the mouth or protest the smiles of others that cover over rottenness and bloodthirst. But my own smile is in the way, juts out like a cow catcher, rips hats and glasses off of people. I bear my smile with a smile, my half-moon yoke on which I hang my worries to dry. I have to turn my head sideways when I pass through a doorway. I'm a resident of the land of the smile. It is not funny at all.
Hmm. I think it is funny. A little bit. But that's good, and that's another... And I think that does illustrate maybe... we're talking about the national character of Denmark. Maybe that illustrates it a little bit.
And it does. I lived in Denmark for 2.5 years... And I think he's commenting on a little bit of the there's a European niceness, a little bit more proper. Maybe some people have the picture of English tea, where you can only say nice things, you can only smile at one another, avoid conflict at all costs,
like a graciousness.
And also a starchiness. Which you don't find quite as much in the U.S.
Right,
where people can easily be a lot more casual. But that European stiffness still exists over there pretty good, and I think that's what he's commenting on with this poem. Yeah.
Cool. You gonna read one more, and then I'll play another song.
That's great. This poem I feel personally is one of his most important poems. Important because the way that it comments on the rat race of modern life that a lot of us experience every day, where we feel that life is too short to take the time to really get into the depth of what life is about, but we have to keep moving, keep trying to get more, and so this is a poem that comments on that. This is called Stare into Space. Stare into space. Stare into space, my child. Just stare into space. Sit and stare into thin air. At the wall. At a fly. At nothing. Be absent. Be gone. A moment or hours. There is a time for everything. Time to work. Time to grow. Time for outward. Time for inward, time to embrace, time to stare into space. So stare into space, my child. The adults around you would rather stare down trouble than sit and stare into space. Restless, they lay plans, gloat when they succeed, despair if they go wrong, buy and sell, scamper back and forth, making no progress, continually take up new burning topics and drop them right away as if they were on fire. Further, further, away, away. To repeat yourself is beginning senility. To deepen your experience, life is too short for. To stare into space is antisocial. Further, further, away, away. When the adults meet themselves in their dreams, they don't know the person in question, jump up with a scream. Nightmare. A sleeping pill. What could that have been? Those shrimp must have been sitting around too long. So stare into space now, my child, while the time is here, before you become like one of us, who restlessly collects diversions and has forgotten to stare into space.
We met on a windblown day in Niagara and fell in love the old-fashioned way. We hiked on a trail down by the river. I slipped, she caught me and started to say, let me tell you I love you today. You know we could die tomorrow. It sounded funny when she said it that way. But I never thought that tomorrow would come. We settled not far from her folks in Hampstead. Work was hard, but what is work anyway? She held her child so new from creation, looked up at me and I heard her say, let me tell you I love you today. We can't know about tomorrow. It sounded funny when she said it that way, but I never thought that tomorrow would come. After our second, the fast lane took over, filling our days with family and friends. It stopped with a crash no fool could have dreamed of. Her love was gone, but somehow never ends. She always said, I love you today. You know I could die tomorrow. It sounded funny when she said it that way, and I never thought that tomorrow would come. There's a garden where hope is an anchor, where the wind brings memories and blows them away, where two kids play when it's their bedtime. I chase them in and remember to say, tell the ones you love about it today. We can't know about tomorrow. Your mother would have wanted it that way. Tell the ones you love about it today. So let me tell you I love you today. We can't know about tomorrow. I know it sounds funny when you say it that way, but tell the ones you love about it today. Tell the ones you love about it today. We can't know about tomorrow. I know it sounds funny when you say it that way. Just tell the ones you love about it today.
So here's another poem by Benny Andersen. This one came out in a book 2 years ago, a relatively recent book of his, when he was 80. Although he did just come out with another book a month ago, which I hope to get soon. This is called A Little Dizzy. A Little Dizzy. I have clouds and airplanes in my eyes, church bells in the one ear, traffic jams in the other. My nose is filled with roses and elderflowers. I'm holding my grandchildren's hands, trying to keep my balance, because just under my feet there's a gigantic earth rotating at tremendous speed. Not so strange that sometimes I get a little dizzy.
Yeah. There's a little concession to age there.
And he does have some really beautiful...
Because we all get dizzy, too.
Yeah. He has some beautiful poems about aging.
Yeah.
Let's see. I guess I'll just mention that besides, you know, being this wonderful writer, he is also a very accomplished musician, a wonderful pianist who has written many, many songs that are in that Danish people know and sing at gatherings. And he was also a pianist in a jazz band where he played restaurants and bars for many years and did a lot of traveling. So he has quite a few poems about music, and there's a musical quality, a wonderful rhythm to really most of his poetry. But this next one that I'll read is called Monday. Why is it always Monday on Monday? Not just Monday morning, also in the afternoon and all evening. You can tell from the moment you wake up, this is bad. Late to school, late to work, and they yell at you, look at you sideways. Their eyes get real big. Make such a big deal out of it on Monday, when you least can bear it. They get you to feel so small on Monday, at least a head smaller, not to mention your mood, which is about 2 inches tall. You'll need some pretty good stilts if anyone is going to notice that. Why do you have such big eyes, boss? The better to see if you're doing your work. Why do you have such big ears, teacher? The better to hear if you've done your homework. Why is your mouth so big, Dad? So I can expand my vocabulary. Chomp! Tuesday. Yeah, you can get by on Tuesday. But Monday. Couldn't we just abolish it completely? Hold a Monday sabbatical. Take time to look someone in the eyes. Find out who you really like. Be glad about one another's toes. Think what a long time it can take before you realize that another person has a very beautiful mouth or a joyful hand. It's something like this people should use Mondays for. Then you would jump out of bed every Monday morning to not miss a second. But the way it is at the moment, you can't get out of bed. All day long, you're mistaken for your down comforter. You can barely tell the difference yourself. Nobody whistles on Monday. The most accidents happen on Monday. No one has a light on Monday. You age at least 5 years on Monday. There's no one waiting for you on Monday. If you could just change Monday. Why is it always Monday on Monday? It never fails.
Yes, and we're here tonight on Twilight's Poetry Pub with Michael Goldman, and we are reading from Michael's translations of the work of Danish poet and musician and composer Benny Andersen. So it's great fun, and that was a great fun poem, and it's good stuff. I'm going to try my hand at reading one of your translations here, and I was reading them today, and this one here I liked, so I'm going to read this one. This one is called The Soul. My soul is not really working right. I have so much inside that I can't get out. I don't have any use for it, but maybe someone else would. Could save someone from something, give a little support at a critical moment. People go by, oozing suffering, with gaping problems, and I have the solution inside me, but it's just getting it out. I stand on my head, do cartwheels, flips, but all kinds of other things come out. Excuses, reservations, corrections to old memories. I'm not really like that. I can almost taste it. stuck in my throat. My head feels like a champagne cork. I shake myself up and say, just a second, here comes the big bang. Then everyone will be happy. But people get tired of waiting. If only they believed in me, the big bang would come. But people don't have time. Think it's just more of the same, don't know what they're missing, and there I am. Misunderstood volcano, cooking in my own lava. I've got to try again. Give me a second. By Benny Anderson, 1964, translated by my guest tonight, Michael Goldman.
Thanks, Tom. That was great.
Oh, thanks.
I love the line in that poem, cooking in my misunderstood volcano, cooking in my own lava. I'm sure everybody's felt the burning in their gut, you know, at a critical time. And that is such a wonderful image.
You want to do something, you want to say something, but sometimes you just can't get it out. And I like the champagne cork myself.
Yeah, that's another great image. Yeah. So I don't know if his poetry has ever been on the radio before.
Well,
In this country.
I would say perhaps
it
not
probably,
here. Anyways.
It probably hasn't. Yeah. He translated some of his own poetry with his wife in 1991. It was a small book, and in 1971, some of his poems were translated by, I believe it was an Austrian who was studying in Denmark. But by and large, his poetry has not been translated into English very much, and certainly nothing in the last 20 years. So I'd love to read this one for you. This is a very lighthearted one. From his childhood. This is called Batter. Batter. When the grown-ups baked on Sunday, coffee cakes, sponge cakes, donuts, when they had mixed the batter in a bowl and then shoveled it into a cake pan, and then you were given the bowl, you stood with happiness itself in your hands, scraped with a finger the ample remains of the most marvelous batter, and licked it off your finger, a golden sweetness, marzipan and honey and motherly warmth, that you in one and the same moment with a child's full, wonderful clairvoyance realized never would be surpassed by any other earthly edible. And you were right. The strange thing about it was, and is, that the adults were not aware of this, that they preferred to manipulate this heavenly batter, transform it into ordinary cakes, which tasted fine, goodness knows, but were only primitive, hardened reproductions of this thick, fluid love that made you warm around the mouth and lit up your stomach from the inside like a ballroom in a fairy tale castle. It was really a mystery to me why the adults didn't immediately, when the batter was ready, send us kids out to play and themselves fall upon the batter and fight over it. I didn't say anything, of course. I had better things to do with my mouth. But it has been a mystery to me to this very day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So there's a childhood memory that many of us have, and
oh, yeah.
And we may have wondered the same thing.
Yes. Yes, let's just eat the batter, shall we? Chocolate chip cookie batter is my favorite.
So something else that I really love about Benny Andersen's poetry is that he also has he is not afraid to write political poetry. We haven't heard any so far tonight, but this next one is pretty political. There's been a lot of, it also even made it to the news in this country, a lot of problems with immigration in Denmark, being a small, relatively homogeneous country that has taken in quite a few refugees and immigrants and has caused unrest there. There was an issue a few years ago about some cartoons of Muhammad appearing
in
a Danish newspaper. Danes are all about freedom of the press, but this caused quite a stir. So he wrote some wonderful poems that deal with the issue of immigration. This one is about war and peace. In this poem, I think he's telling us that we need to take peace more seriously. And this is called Instigation. it used to be that people tried to negotiate peace when someone instigated a quarrel. We have moved away from this more and more. To negotiate is too difficult and time-consuming. To instigate is much more effective. Go with the times and the great canon. Instigate peace. Instigate it right away, before anyone even has a chance to think about starting to instigate something. Instigate first, with all available means, tanks, bicycle chains, severities, slaps. Today, the battle is between instigators and negotiators. Instigate them below the belt, under the soles of their feet, under everything. Instigate so they can feel it until we achieve a greater world where no one needs to live in fear of new negotiators.
Cool. Yeah, that's well said. So I think I'm going to play one more song off of your CD here, and you have one called Christmas in June. Now, maybe you could just tell me, getting off of Ben for a second.
Yeah, so Christmas in June is a children's song that I wrote.
Okay.
And I recorded that last fall and sent it out to children's radio shows all around the country.
Yeah.
And a few of them picked it up and played it, including the one at UMass right over here.
Yeah.
And it's a great time to play it, being that Christmas is not that far away.
Less than 3 weeks away.
So this song I wrote, I love to garden, and the song I wrote after gardening.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's for me, being in the garden was... In June, it was like Christmas, you know, seeing everything growing all over.
Oh,
that's kind of the theme. It's a Santa Claus and gardening song.
You mean like when the stuff is first coming up and it's like really exciting? It's like, oh, wow,
yeah.
This stuff is really, this is great.
So I hope you like it.
All right, so let's play that one.
Here comes Santa, and he looks thin, wearing shorts and a big old grin. Step right through my garden gate and holler, come on now, you don't want to be late for Christmas in June. Yeah, he said, Christmas in June. I thought he'd come 6 months too soon, but he said, Christmas in June. I followed him to my berry patch where the rabbits and the slugs eat every batch. Step beside Santa to take a peek. Well, there were strawberries big and red as Santa's cheek. And it was Christmas in June. Yeah, it was Christmas in June. If you don't believe in Santa, you might change your tune if you had Christmas in June. Santa gave a whistle. The elves didn't wait. They picked a pile of strawberries for every plate. We sat up high on the sleigh so keen. We had strawberries topped with North Pole ice cream. And it was Christmas in June, yeah, it was Christmas in June. I was partying there with the Arctic crew. It was Christmas in June. Then ho, 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 gotta be on my way. The elves and reindeer ready at the sleigh. Sunglasses down on the cherry nose, and then lighter than air o'er the trees he goes. And that was Christmas in June, yeah, it was Christmas in June. Sure was over much too soon, it was Christmas in June. Back to my garden, it all made no sense. But then the beans are hanging down like tree ornaments. Tomatoes like sugar plums, look at all my presents. But keep those reindeer on the other side of the fence. And I got Christmas in June, yeah, I got Christmas in June. Every time I'm in the garden and the flowers in bloom, I got Christmas in June, yeah. Christmas in June, yeah, I got Christmas in June. Every time I'm in the garden and the flowers in bloom, I got Christmas in June.
Life. It's something we're all familiar with, life. involves so much, carries away so much. I have nothing against life. It just doesn't feel so natural anymore. It needs more preparation now, a longer warm-up every morning. Where will it end? Finally, all there will be is the approach. And when it's time to jump, you're dead tired. What else can you do? You've got to trick yourself to be able to endure. Get into the start, and into your hours and hours of approach, put your life and soul.
All right. We've been here tonight with Michael Goldman, and he's been reading some translations that he's been doing of Benny Andersen. And Benny is a Danish poet who Michael's very enthusiastic about bringing Benny a wider audience here in the United States and bringing his work, which really does need to be done. And we're really glad that he's doing this work, and we're very happy to have you here tonight. So thanks, Michael.
Thank you for helping to bring Benny Andersen to the airwaves.
Perfect.
Tommy.
Perfect. And we've had a lot of fun reading the poems, and thanks for being here, Carl.
Thanks for having me, Tom. Okay. Always fun.
Yep. And we've had a good time tonight, and this is WXOJ LP Northampton 103.3 FM Valley Free Radio, streaming worldwide at valleyfreeradio.org. And go to the valleyfreeradio.org webpage and click on that donate button and support Valley Free Radio. It's a good thing to do. And I'm going to fade out now with another one of Michael's songs here, and this one is Kiss the World Goodbye.
Some answers to the problems plaguing our world, seeking hopeful news and positive role models, folks working for peace, justice, care for creation, and healing? Join me, Mark Helpsmeet, Friday at 3 p.m. for Spirit in Action. We'll go deep, find some answers, talk to the folks making a difference, and find out what motivates and sustains them. Together, we'll find hope on WXOJLP 103.3 FM Valley Free Radio with Spirit in Action, Friday at 3 p.m.